As you can tell there, Megalodon is a big, scary-looking guy. Megalodon was a giant prehistoric shark. Its huge teeth were as sharp as knives. They were very, very sharp. And I became interested in it when I read someplace that it could open its mouth so wide that it could swallow a great white shark in one gulp. It swam in the oceans all around the whole world. 30 million years ago, this guy was around. And he was everywhere through all the different oceans. He was about the size of a city bus. He was as long, about 50 feet long, as a city bus. Picture in your mind what a city bus looks like, and then imagine one big shark looking as big as that bus, about 50 feet, which is about 15 meters. That's big. Okay, Megalodon had fins on its body and tail. These fins helped Megalodon swim very quickly. It could just glide through the water just as fast as any fish that you've ever seen. Even though it was so big, it was all streamlined, so it could just cruise through the water very fast. It breathed through gills. Gills you can see there on the side of its head there, those jagged openings right there, the water would go in there, and then it was able to filter out the oxygen and things that it needed through those gills. And so that's the way it was able to breathe underwater, is because of those gills there. The water would go in, it would filter out what it needed. It had a rounded snout like most sharks do, and its wide jaws are filled with teeth. Look at those teeth. Those are huge, jagged teeth. And they were just so sharp. You can't believe how sharp they were. As I said before, they were as sharp as knives. Okay. It was a carnivore. It needed to eat meat in order to live, and so it would search the oceans for animals that it could eat. It could even hunt very large whales. In the picture you see there, that's a whale that this guy is going after. That's how big this guy was. He could take a big bite out of a whale. That's how huge this guy was. That's pretty, pretty big. Okay, usually it would bite its food into chunks, but it wouldn't chew the chunks. Once the chunks were there, it just swallowed the chunks whole. Its digestive system was set up so that it could take care of those huge, big chunks of meat that it would eat. And so it would just have a big chunk and swallow it, and then take another chunk and swallow that. Because he was so big, he needed to eat a lot of food. I think, did we skip a page there?
Oh, let me go back. Nope, it goes from here
I thought there was one that said it had like 800 teeth in its mouth at one time. Now, the thing you need to know about Megalodon is, well, first off, the last one that we know of died about 2 million years ago. Nobody knows any reason why they died. This was, you know, millions of years after the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs died off 65.5 million years ago, and this guy died off just 2 million years ago. So it wasn't whatever killed the dinosaurs. It was totally different. But the fossils we find, none of them are from any more recent time than 2 million years ago. But all you're ever going to see in a museum that's real would be Megalodon teeth, because the rest of the body all disintegrates into nothing. Even its jawbones that you can see in the picture there, those were made by people to illustrate the teeth, but they aren't real. Only the teeth there are real, because we don't even have the jawbones, because they were made out of cartilage, and that just dissolves away. So all we actually have of Megalodon are these enormous teeth, and they are pretty big. Okay.
Well, that's the end of this book. Miss Janet, I understand you have something that you would like to show us. So I'm going to stop sharing.
Yes, I do.
And then I'll work on bringing up the other book while you share with us.
Okay, can you guys see? This is that I have in my hand right here. That is a megalodon tooth. Look at that. It's almost as big as my entire head. I mean, that's a megalodon tooth right there that you can see. And I don't know if you can see the edge of it very well there or not, but it was very, very sharp. Now, this one, the very tip of it here, the tip of it is rounded. That's through use because it would bite so many times. This would be, you know, it would lose its sharpness. But Megalodon had a system of teeth in its mouth that the teeth were stacked one under another, under another, under another. So it had something like 800 teeth in its mouth at one time. Because, you know that you have baby teeth, and then those fall out and you get your adult teeth, okay? But Megalodon had several sets of teeth, not just baby and adult. So when one would pop out or become, you know, not useful anymore because it was just too dull, it would pop out and a new one would grow in right away. It would never run out of teeth to grow in there. So it had a lot of sharp teeth, and it didn't mind losing a few because it would just get more. But as you can see there, that is one great big tooth. I'm sorry, I tried to get the audio to work so I wouldn't have to have a phone in my hand, but as you guys could tell, technology is not exactly my best thing. So, but that is a megalodon tooth right there. So that's pretty cool. At least I hope you guys think it's cool, because I think it's awesome. All right.
Oh, it absolutely is. So, Miss Janet, is that a representation of a fossil, or is that a real fossil?
That is a representation. I can't afford to buy the real ones, but it's what we call a museum quality replica. It's a museum quality replica because every little nick, every cranny is copied exactly from a real tooth. And so every place that it was nicked or cracked or whatever, that's reproduced in this. So this is a good enough quality of a replica to go into a museum. So it is like looking at the real thing, except that it's not.
Oh no, that is very cool. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen again. I don't see any questions in our Q&A or in our chat. So I'm going to go ahead and go to our next book then. So let me go oops, we're not going to do that. Hang on. So let me go ahead and share my screen. And hopefully you can now see Velociraptor.
Yep, Velociraptor, I see him.
Okay, great.
And the first thing everyone will notice is it does not look anything like the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the book. So I was glad to write this book because I had written a book on Velociraptor, probably 25 years ago. And we've learned a lot more about Velociraptor since then. So I was glad to write a book that had more recent information in it. So, Velociraptor. Okay. I think all of you know how to pronounce it. It's Velociraptor. And it lived in the Cretaceous period. There were three periods of time where the dinosaurs lived. It was all the Mesozoic era. And the Mesozoic era is divided up into the Triassic, the Jurassic, and the Cretaceous periods. And that means that it was, this one was in the last period, the Cretaceous period. The Jurassic period had the biggest dinosaurs in it, but the Cretaceous had the most interesting dinosaurs in it. They got very weird dinosaurs during the time of the Cretaceous. Anyway, it is a meat eater. It is a carnivore. It eats meat. And it says there that it is 5 to 6 feet, but notice that is long, not tall. It is 5 to 6 feet long, and that's from the tip of its nose to the very end tip of its tail. So as you can tell, the tail's like 3 feet long. So it really was a very small dinosaur. It stood about maybe 3 feet tall, okay? And you can see the picture there that next to the bus, that it doesn't look very big. It would fit on the bus real easily. In the movie Jurassic Park, they decided to make it much, much bigger than it was in real life. They liked the name of Velociraptor, so they wanted to have Velociraptor the name, but they actually made it more by like the dinosaur we call Deinonychus, which there's a picture of later in the book. And Deinonychus was actually a lot, you know, maybe twice as big as Velociraptor. Okay, so it only weighed 30 to 40 pounds, which is 14 to 18 kilograms. And it was less than a meter tall. So it is, it's not a big dinosaur, but it lived about 75 to 71 million years ago. And it was a very small meat eater compared to many, many others that lived at the same time. So that's it. Now, the share screen is over this thing there that says, thanks to fossils, but I can tell you about fossils without reading about it, okay? Fossils are how we know everything that we know about dinosaurs and many other creatures as well. That's what's left behind. What happens is that when an animal dies, sometimes it gets covered right away before it can disintegrate or rot away, usually by mud. And when it's covered up, then the parts of the water seeps in. It disintegrates the soft parts, the feathers, the skin, the organs, and things like that. But the hard things, like the claws and the teeth and the bones, they get filled with water. Now, you might think, you know, that a bone couldn't take, you know, you can't put water in a bone or in teeth or in a claws. But in fact, that there's tiny little openings that seeps in, and the material inside is replaced by the hard minerals that are in the water. And so that's how things fossilize. And that's a very brief overview of what actually happens. But that's the process that we use to learn about fossils. Okay. Okay, there we go. Now, this is a diagram of what it looked like, and it looks kind of weird, doesn't it? We know that it had a long, flat head because we have skulls of it. Its tail was very stiff. It didn't bend like you may know, like a cat or a dog's tail. It can bend a little bit, but this is a very, very stiff tail, okay? The thing that you need to pay special attention to is that sickle claw on its foot down there at the bottom there. This claw was unlike the claws on any other dinosaurs that I am aware of. It sits up in the air rather than down, like a toe usually sits down on the ground. This doesn't. It's up in the air, which would keep it from getting, you know, losing its sharpness by dragging on the ground. And then it's shaped differently. It's very long and curved. It kind of looks like the quarter moon, okay, the sickle moon, and it's a much longer claw than the other claws that it has. Now, you might ask, how do we know it had feathers? The way we know it had feathers is the arm bones, it leaves little tiny, what we call nodes, little bitty indentations on the bone, and we know that that's an indentation that whenever we see that, we know that it held a feather in those little bitty indentations. One of the coolest things of all, though, is that in that little bitty indentation, if they examine that and they do all kinds of things that scientists know how to do, they can tell what color the feather was that was in that node. So if they have, you know, nodes all over the body, it takes a very, very long time, but they could actually tell what color the dinosaur was, or at least what color its feathers were. They did one very small dinosaur called the Avedon, and they were able to tell that it was mostly black, but it had a red splotch on the back of its neck. And so I just, you know, because we always thought we would never know what color a dinosaur was, but now because of these feathers, we are able to. Let's see, on its fingers, it has three fingers on each hand, and then its teeth are very sharp, like all meat eaters are, and they're curved backwards just a little bit so that it kind of, you know, when they sink their teeth into something and that thing tries to pull away, it can't because the teeth are curved and it won't let it, okay? And it says there, a quotation from Mark Norell. Mark Norell is a very, very famous paleontologist who has made lots and lots of discoveries in science and about dinosaurs. And he says, if animals like Velociraptor were alive today, our first impression would be that they were just very unusual looking birds. And they do look a lot like birds, maybe bigger than most of the birds you are used to, but they do look a lot like a bird. And then that picture over there with the dog, it shows you a Great Dane there. And it was about as tall as a Great Dane, but it was much, much skinnier, much slimmer than a Great Dane, because a Great Dane might weigh, I don't know, 60, 80 pounds, but this guy is only going to weigh half that amount. So that's a velociraptor in all its parts. Okay, so I mentioned before that there are many different kinds of raptors out there, and we just call the whole group of them raptors. One is called Oviraptor, and that's that first picture there. It was a very weird dinosaur also. It was just about the same size as Velociraptor, and they were found, as was Velociraptor, found in Mongolia. And the eggs of the Oviraptor were the very first eggs that were ever found of any dinosaur. They were the very first discovery. But when the scientists first found those eggs, they thought they were Protoceratops eggs rather than Oviraptor. Now, Protoceratops is like Triceratops without horns, and it grew to be about the size of a cow. And the reason they thought that was because there were about 10,000 bones of Protoceratops in the field near where they found the nests of eggs. And so they thought, okay, all those bones there, these eggs here, it must be from Protoceratops. But they did find a skeleton of an Oviraptor in the nest of eggs. And so when they thought the eggs were from Protoceratops, they go, oh, it must have been in the nest of eggs stealing the eggs. And so they named it Oviraptor, which means egg thief. But later on, they found out it was a good father, okay? They could tell from the amount of calcium in the bones that it was a male dinosaur that was laying on top of the eggs, trying to protect the eggs from whatever it was that covered them and fossilized all of them. So we know now that those eggs were Oviraptor eggs, so it wasn't an egg thief, and that the father, at least some of the time, sat on the nest of eggs. So that's a very cool dinosaur to know about. Then underneath that is Deinonychus. And we know that it lived in it traveled in packs and could hunt small dinosaurs, and even a pack of dinosaurs could work together and bring down a larger dinosaur. There was an incident where they found the skeleton of a Tenontosaurus, and that was a long-necked dinosaur. It wasn't as big as like an Apatosaurus or anything like that, but it was a fairly big size one. And it was found with, I think, three or four skeletons of Deinonychus there, and it was obvious that a pack of dinosaurs had attacked the Tenontosaurus, and they had killed some of them, but not all of them, because the Tenontosaurus did die, but it had fought off enough of them to kill several of them, and they were all fossilized together. And the Deinonychus was about the size of a mountain lion, and it could draw, if I remember correctly, it could be about 6 to 10 feet long, okay? And it also had feathers, okay? And then there's a Achillobator, which was bigger yet. It could be about 20 feet long, so that's at least twice as big as Deinonychus and about, whole lot bigger than Velociraptor. And it could weigh between 500 and 1,000 pounds, so we're talking a much, much bigger raptor there. And then the Utah raptor underneath that is the biggest raptor we found so far, 23 feet long, weighing almost a ton. And the sickle claw that it has around the outer curve is 12 inches long, and I have one of those I'm going to show you when the book is done. So, and it was named after Utah, the state that it was found in. So that's so those are just a few. There are other raptors, but those are four of the really coolest ones. Okay. All right, here's the part about the feathers. The scientists discovered quill knobs on Velociraptor's arm in 2007. Quill knobs proved that the dinosaur had feathers. Male Velociraptors may have had brightly colored feathers because bright feathers help to attract a mate. Just like birds, it's usually the male that is very brightly colored, and usually the female is much duller. So female Velociraptors likely had very dull colored feathers. Females could spread their feathers over their eggs, and that would help to hide the eggs from sunlight and predators. But remember what I told you about Oviraptor, that the father sometimes at least sat on the eggs. And so perhaps there wasn't that brightly colored versus dull colored distinction there. We just don't know. We do know, though, the Velociraptor could not fly. Even though it had feathers, it could not fly. Its arms were too short, and its body was too long to get off the ground. And we have birds today that can't fly, such as the penguin. Okay, they are definitely birds, as the ostrich or the emu as well. And they are birds, but they can't fly either. So very weird-looking bird. Just like you can imagine all the different kinds of birds you can see today, there were that many kinds of raptors. So here we're going to talk about the stiff tail. The Velociraptor's tail was stiff and stuck straight out. And the reason it needed it to do that is to keep its balance while running or walking, because the head, you know, is going to weigh a lot. Now, ours sits upright on our spine, and so we have the whole body underneath it to support it. But it, but the picture, the second picture over on page 13, that's usually the stance it probably was in most of the time. So it needed something to balance its head, okay? So the head would be on one side, and then the stiff tail would balance the head to help it to not fall over. Okay. Now, some dinosaurs, like, for instance, Diplodocus, could use their tail as a weapon. They would use it like a whip. They could swing that. They could swing it amazingly fast. And Diplodocus was just enormous, like 40 feet long. And so its tail was something like 20 feet long. So you can imagine the force behind a whip that large. But the Velociraptor couldn't do that. Its tail was too stiff to do that. It was more like a stick than like a rope, okay? So it couldn't bend, and it couldn't be used as a tail. But it would be really helpful when swinging back and forth, okay? Because when it would run, then it could swing its tail back and forth, and that might help it to turn more rapidly, kind of like the rudder on a ship, okay? So when it needed to turn, if it just swung its tail around, then it would have, then it would enable it to turn almost instantly, just like turning the rudder of a boat. And it could do amazing twists and turns in order to, you know, escape from predators, because it was a small dinosaur. There were lots of dinosaurs willing to eat it, or else to help it catch prey. And so this was a handy thing then, for two reasons, both to make turns and to balance its head. Okay, and we think it could run really fast. The Velociraptor's slim body and long legs may have made it a very fast runner. It would have allowed the Velociraptor to catch its next meal and also to escape from hungry predators, because you have to be fast, you know, to catch the other creatures. Its name even means swift thief. And some scientists, in fact, many of them, believe that it could run as fast as 24 miles per hour. That is very fast for an animal to run, all right? However, there's some scientists that don't agree that it was a fast runner. They think that those long legs were more to help it jump and to climb rather than to run fast. Me, I opt for the runner. I think it makes sense because its muscles, its leg muscles, were just so strong. Of course, that would also help it to jump, but I think it probably could do both. Okay, the sickle claw. All right, here, hang on. I'm going to open my book here because I can't see that print because it is blocking my view. Just a second here, because fortunately I do have Velociraptor with me here. Okay, Velociraptor had sharp claws on its hands and feet. The second toe of each foot had an especially large claw called a sickle claw. And you can see that real clearly in the picture there. To keep the claw sharp, Velociraptor held it up above the ground when it walked or ran. And, you know, that's very unusual. Imagine if one of your toes stuck up in the air so that the toenail could grow off of it really long and sharp like that. You'd have a hard time wearing shoes, wouldn't you? Okay, so this sickle claw could break through skin and hold on to the prey. But for Velociraptor, it wasn't strong enough to actually kill a dinosaur. It just simply wasn't big enough, okay? there are birds of prey, like hawks and eagles, that also have a larger claw on their second toes, which again shows us how very closely related dinosaurs and birds are. Okay, as we've mentioned, Velociraptor was a carnivore. Carnivores eat meat. This dinosaur was a good hunter. Its eyes faced forward, which gave it great eyesight. Birds often have one eye on one side of their head and one eye on the other. And though this gives them a far, you know, they can have really good vision to see off to the sides that way, it doesn't give them much depth. They can't tell how far things are away from them because their eyes aren't facing forward. But the eyes of Velociraptor did face forward, which was able them to see really, really well. So it would help them to sneak up on prey, and then it could attack. When Velociraptor attacked, its large sickle claw helped hold on to prey. And it also had razor-sharp teeth that helped to kill the animal. Velociraptor may have hunted in packs. We know that Deinonychus did, and so it seems logical to think that other raptors did. And this would help them to attack a much larger prey than one dinosaur could handle all on its own. As you can imagine, a whole pack of them coming at a dinosaur from several different sides would make a big difference. Because of its size, Velociraptor probably ate small dinosaurs, lizards, and insects. And it also might have eaten the eggs of other dinosaurs. Many creatures today love to get a hold of eggs. In fact, we like to eat eggs. It is also likely that Velociraptor was a scavenger. That means that it would find meat that was already dead. It could wait for a big predator to finish eating its full off of a dinosaur, and then it could rush in to eat what was left over, the little bits that the big dinosaur didn't bother with. And so that's what a scavenger does. So probably most dinosaurs were scavengers. They would never turn down a meal that they didn't have to kill for themselves. All right, Velociraptor's home. Okay, Velociraptor, as we said before, lived during the Cretaceous period. It has been found in the desert areas of what's now Mongolia and China. So we don't find any Velociraptor skeletons on the North American continent. They didn't live here. Other raptors did. Utah raptor, you know, lived in Utah. But this is found only so far in Mongolia and China. Where it lived was very hot and dry, just like the deserts are today. There would be water and plants in only a few places. Mostly there would be sand, especially great giant sand dunes. However, there were also a lot of volcanoes, which we don't see a lot today in the deserts that we know of. Other animals that lived at the same time, though in different places, as Velociraptor were the Tyrannosaurus rex, the Triceratops, the Ankylosaurus, the Ophiraptor, and the Protoceratops. The first three, I think, I know Tyrannosaurus and Triceratops are in North America. I think Ankylosaurus is. But Ophiraptor and Protoceratops were also found in Mongolia and China, okay? And the Cretaceous period lasted from 145 million years ago up to the end of the dinosaurs, which is actually 65.5 million years ago. And so that's about that, okay? All right. Scientists have not found many clues about what Velociraptor was like growing up. There just aren't very many clues. As far as I know, we haven't found any baby except for the eggs that they found. And you might ask, you know, before I told you that they thought the eggs were Protoceratops eggs, and then they found out they were Velociraptor. Later in 1995, when they were excavating in Mongolia, they found an egg that hadn't hatched. And they were able to look inside it, and they saw that it had a skeleton of a baby Ophiraptor in there, rather than as we talked about before, rather than the Protoceratops. And so we can assume that Velociraptor was a lot like the Ophiraptor was. Other dinosaurs in the raptor group took care of their babies. We know that because they were taking care of the eggs. So probably Velociraptor did that too, but we aren't sure. We do know, though, from the skeletons that we found in those nests, that they had larger eyes than, you know, as they grew, the eyes stayed the same size, but the head grew larger. So when it was a baby, the eyes looked very, very large. And its snout was a lot shorter, and that grew longer as the dinosaur got older. And then there's a picture there of Oviraptor laying on its eggs. Okay. These were discovered by paleontologist Roy Chapman Andrews. He's a very famous paleontologist, one of the first to really learn a lot about dinosaurs. He found them in the Gobi Desert of Mongolia in the 1920s. So we've only had dinosaur eggs for 100 years. Before that time, we had never found any intact dinosaur eggs. But in the 1920s, he made that first discovery. And since then, we've found lots of eggs, okay? The Velociraptor bones have only been found in Mongolia and China. But other raptors have been found all over the world, including, as we said, the United States. Andrews and his team found other dinosaurs, including Oviraptor. And they, as I said before, they found the very first dinosaur eggs, which was a very thrilling discovery. Okay, now this is one of the coolest fossil finds that has ever, ever, ever been found. They found it was again in the Gobi Deserts in Mongolia. They found a Velociraptor and a Protoceratops locked in battle. And you can see the picture on page 27 there. This is a picture of the actual fossil that they found. The Velociraptor is holding on to the Protoceratops' head, and it has its sickle claws sunk into the dinosaur's chest. But the Protoceratops is biting the Velociraptor's right arm, which was broken, okay? They died in the middle of a fight. Probably there was a mudslide that covered them and killed them while they were actually fighting. This is the first, and as far as I know, the only fossil discovery to show two actual dinosaurs fighting each other. Some scientists think that the fighting dinosaurs died when a strong wind blew a sand dune on top of them. Okay, I'd always heard it was a mudslide. I should read my own books. So it might have been a sand dune collapsing on top of them, given that they were out in the desert. So that would be, I mean, it's just amazing to find dinosaurs in action like that, to know how they would have fought each other. So that's a pretty spectacular find. Okay, so some do-you-know things. A bone in Velociraptor's eye shows that it might have been nocturnal. That means that it hunted and ate at night and slept during the day. Okay, so a lot of creatures that we know of today sleep through the day and fight at night. And they have the same bone in their head, in the eye, that they see in Velociraptor's eye. So that same bone being found there is also found in both birds and lizards, and it means that that is nocturnal. So that was something brand new that we didn't know about Velociraptor, that it actually probably slept during the day, and it would have been very hot during the day, so that makes sense too, and then at night. Okay, now here we go with the 1993 movie Jurassic Park. It did make Velociraptor very famous, but the movie's dinosaur did not look like Velociraptor. This dinosaur in the movie, it did not have feathers. It was much bigger and much smarter than Velociraptor really was. The dinosaur in the movie was based on the body of a very large Deinonychus, okay? But even when they found out that they had all these things wrong, like in the sequels, they left the dinosaur looking exactly like it did in the first one. They didn't correct it. Scientists, when they find out they've made a mistake, they correct it. Movies do not. So this is very important. Don't believe what you see in the movies, okay? All right. Like birds today, Velociraptor had hollow bones. So that might very well mean that it was warm-blooded. As birds are warm-blooded, this dinosaur might have been warm-blooded. And then we have that Toronto in Canada, their professional basketball team is named the Toronto Raptors. And so that's their mascot there. All right. So that is Velociraptor. It is a very cool dinosaur, but it's not quite the way it's shown in the movies. Okay. So if Linda can click things over here, I'd like to show you just a couple of raptor claws here.
Yep, so okay. I've stopped sharing, Miss Janet, so we should be back where the camera will just see you.
Okay, so this right here is a velociraptor claw, okay? And you can see that it is very long, and that curve there would make it very, very sharp, okay? But I'm going to put the phone now, so I'm just down so that I can use both hands. So the next claw I'm going to show you, I'll have the velociraptor on top and the Deinonychus claw underneath this, so you can compare them.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that kind of showed you that Deinonychus is bigger than velociraptor, but not a lot bigger, you know, maybe an inch. Maybe I can kind of balance them both in, you know, if you put them right next to each other like that. You can see that the Deinonychus claw is definitely bigger, but they're both not terribly big claws. But this one is. This is Utah raptor. And as you can tell, that is much, much bigger. Hang on a minute. I'll show you both together. Okay, you can definitely see from that compared to Utah raptor, velociraptor was a shrimp. Okay, this is just an enormous claw. I think it said in the book that it's, if you measure it from the tip all the way around the outside curve, it's 12 inches. If I pull it back, yeah, that helps you to see the whole thing together. Yeah, so that is one very, very big claw. Now I'm going to show you another claw here, and it is from a dinosaur called Megaraptor. And Megaraptor is just absolutely enormous, even compared to Utah raptor. Let's see if I can get these both in here. Okay, Utah raptor here, Megaraptor here. Okay, now when they named Megaraptor, they thought it was a raptor. Turns out it's not. Okay, so it's not really in the same family, but that is still a really cool claw because look at how big that thing is. It's about as long as my arm just about. So that is a very cool claw that we have there. Then I thought, just for the fun of it, that you might also like to see a Tyrannosaurus tooth. This is a tooth of a Tyrannosaurus rex. That is a very, very, very big tooth. Imagine, you know, compared to my teeth, you know, this is one very, very, very big tooth. So I just thought you would like to see that because everybody loves Tyrannosaurus. So, okay, so that is what I know about those two dinosaurs, Velociraptor and, well, Megalodon, of course, is not a dinosaur. I do a lot more stuff on dinosaurs than I do on Megalodon, but Megalodon is still awesome. It just is.
Oh, absolutely. So, well, yeah. Thank you so much, Miss Janet. Let me just check.